The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Hi everybody, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
I'm Avalon.
And today we have a new Minty with us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, I'm Harmony.
How did you find out about Mint, Harmony?
I met Emmy at a youth council event and then, yeah, I kind of just came along
for a ride. We're all part of the new youth council crew, which is exciting.
Yep.
A lot of crossover between
multicultural youth and youth council.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It's very good. So today we're going to have a little chat, something we love talking about on
something
radio.
Something we talk about every episode.
Every single episode. We're going to be talking about being mixed race. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is in a more focused lens of being, I guess, biracial,
black
and white mixed race. Because we've kind of been doing that series where we interviewed the Sri Lankan girls and then we interviewed the Indo-Fijians. And now it's kind of like our turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do we want to start off by maybe saying where we're from?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, me and Imogen are sisters, so we're the same. But our mum, her family are from Jamaica. She grew up in the UK, but she's Jamaican. And then my dad is Pākehā, New Zealand.
Yeah.
My mum's Kiwi. She just grew up here. And then my dad's Kenyan.
So cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so where were you born?
I was born in Nairobi, Kenya.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so cool.
Do you have a Kenyan passport?
Yes.
Oh.
I think so. Yeah. But then we just moved back here when I was like 6 months.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So mostly raised here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is your mom from Nelson?
She's from Timaru, but all my family's in Blenheim. And then,
Nice. Okay.
Cool. So we were both born in Nelson. And we lived here till we were, well, I was 10 years old. Imogen was 7. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Samoa for 5.5 years before coming back.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to talk about primary schools?
Ooh.
What was primary school like for you? Were you the only brown person in your year or in your class?
We didn't have as many cultures as there were at that Hampden Street event. I noticed that. But there was definitely a lot less of us. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, we've done a lot of primary school work over the past year, and going into primary schools now versus primary schools when we were kids is crazy how much it's changed. Like, it's genuinely insane because, I mean, for me at least and for Imogen too, we were the only brown kids at our school. And now you go in and it's, like, just so diverse.
Yeah.
It's
so much culture and, like, cultural days being done at primary schools and wearing cultural clothing, like, that would have been my dream growing up, you know? So beautiful.
Just, no, it's fantastic to see. Yeah. But it was definitely a difficult experience, I would say, not seeing other people that look like myself.
Yeah.
That was
it was really isolating. And, I mean, we were, like, it was me and Avalon and Harmony, and then there was, I know, two other mixed race girls in Nelson at the time when we were growing up. So, like, we were really, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. We didn't see a lot of other people that looked like us.
And I think that created a lot of, like, confusion as a kid. Like, I just didn't really get why I was different. And it was less that I felt different. I think you have a different opinion of this. But it was less that I felt different and more that, like, other people treated me differently, if that makes sense. Yeah, like, I felt the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, I was a little bit older than you. And also, like, when I went to school a couple of years before you, it was just me, you know? Whereas you always had me to compare yourself to.
That's true.
So I think that made a slight difference, but I was always very conscious of the fact that I wasn't the same as other people. And that made things really confusing and hard for me because I wasn't the same as anyone else and I didn't have anything to compare to. Yeah. And I didn't have any role models that looked like me. So it was very isolating, and I felt very like I was the only one in the whole world, just me.
What about you? What was it like?
It was definitely weird. I guess now looking back on it, I guess I kind of just put blinders on.
Yeah.
And just like I didn't really take notice that like there was not really anybody else that looked like me.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like something that was there, but just in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
When do you think, like, what age were you like, oh damn, this is like.
Probably. Definitely like end of year six, mm-hmm. I reckon.
That was like so the moment.
A good length of time, except kids, like little kids have no filters.
No, they don't. So they'll say anything.
Yeah, like if they hear their parents say something, they'll just like say it.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's kind of what affected me probably the most through primary school.
Yeah, definitely. That was like the event that we went to as Mint
a few years ago, we went, and this is kind of why we started working with primary schools, is we went to this event out in Richmond, and it was like a whole bunch of us multicultural youth, and we were working with a group of small children, and they kept saying these like horrendously racist things.
Yeah. They were saying like slurs and stuff.
And we were so shocked because they were like 5 and 6 years old. Like, how would they know that? And we realized that so much racism comes from the home and like the household and things that your parents say that you repeat, not understanding the context of them or not understanding
how it affects somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of why we work with kids a lot at the moment. But, no, they genuinely, they have no perception of what is okay and what is not. And, you know, that is fair because they are children. But I think it's so important that you are careful.
And when you are a child, it's like, it's not like you're an adult and little kids are saying these things, you know, like you're the same age as them. Your peers are saying those things about you.
Yeah. And so that can be really, really challenging.
Mm.
Mm. I think, like, I was always conscious of the fact that I was different, but it became really obvious when we moved overseas, when I would have been year five. And I started going to an international school in Samoa, and we were so different, didn't speak the language. And I realized the way that I was treated in Samoa as, like, a visitor and a tourist and an outsider was very similar to the way that I was treated at home. Yeah. And that was really weird because it, like, made me question a lot of, like, whether New Zealand was even my home to begin with. And then because I'm mixed, like, I can't go to Jamaica and feel like that's my home. And I can't go to England where my mom grew up and feel like that's my home. And I didn't feel like I was enough of one thing to really fit in anywhere. Yeah.
Well, I haven't really been back to Africa, but I feel like that's what it's going to be like. It's like you don't really like blend in here. And then I'm like scared I'm like not going to blend in over there either. So
So last year we went to Jamaica for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was like the most surreal moment. And yeah, it felt like we were tourists, you know, like people treated us like tourists.
Us like we were white. Which was crazy. That was the craziest thing.
It was like full reverse. Like, they were treating us like we were, white people. Mm. That's how they were treating us. And it was just so weird. Like, people looking at us when we were walking down the street and stuff. And I was like, but I feel like I look like you. Like, what? But it was probably to do with the accent, the way we dressed. Like, everything about us was just like.
Especially in the way we dressed, I definitely noticed, like. Yeah,
it was stood obvious.
Out. Just in everything that we did, we stood out.
Yeah, and like we had family in Jamaica, but even with them, they were like, oh, it's so nice that you came here like to visit. And I was like, yeah, we came here to visit, but like also, like, what?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like home.
No, it didn't. But it also kind of did. Like there was, for me, I don't know, one of the things I love about Samoa more than anything is like, I guess my connection to the land. I feel like more than anywhere else in the world, it is my home because I have like such a deep connection to
the environment
environment there and like the islands. And when I went to Jamaica, I felt a similar connection, but it was different. Especially like growing up removed from your culture, and I feel like I talk about this every time I'm on the radio, but growing up removed from your culture, especially when it comes to like the history and especially when it comes to my history and the history of my people, which is horrendous. You know, you can like hear, or we spend so much time learning about other people and their cultures, or like horrible things that are happening in other parts of the world. But when you experience it for yourself and like something that's directly happened to your ancestors, and understanding like that is where you come from, that's a whole nother level. And so when you're in Jamaica and you see evidence of the atrocious history, when you see evidence of slavery, of the violence and the poverty, like I definitely felt that very deeply.
Yeah.
And that really impacted me. And I didn't anticipate it impacting me in that way. I didn't anticipate feeling the connection to it and like a lot of anger for those things that have happened, or like taking it so personally.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I get what you mean.
Mm. That surprised me a lot.
Yeah. It was a weird experience. I always imagined, like, I don't know if you felt like you feel like this because you haven't been back yet, but like this idea that I would get there and it would be like everything that New Zealand isn't for me,
yeah,
because they're technically equals in like how much I am of both, you know, yeah, what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, yep, I'm going to get there and I'm going to be like, this is my people and this is my home, and all the ways that people treat me here, they won't happen there, because even though I'm equally white as I am black, there's this idea in my head that I, because people see me as black, I will fit in better. And yeah, it's like,
No.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it made me realize that places like America and places like England are really where I'll probably fit in the most.
Because they're just like, but then you're not American or English.
It's true.
So it's, yeah.
Oh, it's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Will you go back?
Yes, hopefully soon.
Mm.
Yeah,
amazing.
Maybe next year.
Do you have family?
Good. Yeah, all of my dad and all of their side is
all
over there.
Mm-hmm. Are you like in contact with them?
A little bit, but not as much as I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same as most of my mom's family lives in England, so we're in contact with them, but in Jamaica we're not
really super in touch.
Yeah, but when we went there it was like reconnecting, you know, and now I like text my cousins and it's so nice. I love that part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing that going to Jamaica definitely taught me was like it showed me how much of New Zealand culture is still my culture, even though I don't feel like I'm accepted or like I feel slightly removed from it. I do definitely still see aspects of it within myself.
Yeah.
That really, like, I don't know, I feel like that was highlighted when I was there and I got to experience, I don't know, it was like experiencing New Zealand culture removed from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Because you've never lived anywhere else, right?
No.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you are a New Zealander?
Not really.
No.
Oh, see, it's complicated.
Yeah,
like,
it's so complicated.
Yeah. Because I've lived here my whole life, so, like...
You should be.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't really feel like it.
So. Yeah. It's your... We're own little special category, you know?
Yeah. We're just separate.
We're just a little bit separate, but unique. Because it's, like, we should be able to say we're New Zealanders. Like, I have friends who were born in England and, like, just moved here when they were, like, young. And both parents are British, and they can say they're New Zealanders, and they feel like New Zealanders, you know? I'm like, let's think about this for
like
5 seconds.
Like, my friends with German parents, they're like, yeah, I'm from New Zealand. Like,
but why do you feel like that? Like,
my dad's Kiwi. Like, he's lived here his whole life. He's the most Kiwi guy in the whole country. And I still don't feel like I could, like, I feel like if I were to say I'm from New Zealand, I would be lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And or, like, someone would tell
me
I'm
wrong. People would say, they would be like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah,
where are you really from?
Yeah.
Tell me the truth, though. Okay, do you want to talk about intermediate and high school? crazy times.
Yeah, well, what was it like for you?
Pretty much the same as primary school.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of just kept blinders on. I haven't really talked about this before, so it's kind of weird, but yeah. Definitely more noticeable that there was less culture than primary school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was... I guess by that point, I was kind of used to it.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really make that big of a difference. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Definitely.
Mm, interesting.
I feel like I'm like the opposite to you because when I moved here, it was year 9. Mm-hmm. And I had gone from an international school with like 100 kids and what it was, it like 45 cultures.
Yeah.
So I went from like this big multicultural epicenter where there was just every culture imaginable, it was there. You know what I mean? And then suddenly I was dropped into like a little Nelson High School and I was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we've kind of found our way and we found our people. Like Imogen, because you grew up in like Samoa multiculturalism and like international school, once we got to New Zealand, all of your friends became like your entire friend group was Asian.
Yeah.
You were like just surrounded
I was like, I had no friend. I still don't really have any New Zealand friends because it was just like, I was like, well, where are my people? You know? And like, even
that's
though
that's just what is comfortable.
That is like, yeah. And like, I think a really important thing to say is like, when we're talking about multiculturalism, right? Like even in this room, we're actually not the same as Harmony. You know what I mean? Like we're not actually the same ethnicity, but it's like, we're all still talking about it like we are, you know, like we have this like sympathizing, I don't know, with each other where we're able to understand each other. And like multiculturalism, like my friend group is so diverse, you know, like, well, there are a couple of us that are from the same place, but majority aren't from the same country.
Yeah.
But it's like we find like this little safety in that.
I guess, yeah, we have similar experiences. Or like Esther, who's sometimes on here, she's Brazilian. And even though Brazil and Jamaica are different, we have so much similarity between us that she feels the same as me.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful, but I think that people categorize us as one and we're not. And like to prove that a group so diverse with such different stories and stuff, such different backgrounds can come together and be like, we're going to hold each other and feel safe in a sea full of people that are the same. Like it's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've been talking a lot with a friend of mine about this because he doesn't really have a lot of like cultural, he's not super involved in like a cultural space like I am. And so there's a lot of differences between us. And I think I'm starting to see like how incredibly important it is to be surrounded by multicultural people and not just like one culture, but like an array of cultures, or especially like biracial people as a biracial person, because it's, I think genuinely it's only through my relationship to multicultural people and like getting to know multicultural people and getting to see the beauty in their culture and getting to see the pride that they hold in their culture that I develop a love for them, and in turn I'm able to love myself and that part of myself. And it's only through like being able to recognize it in another person that I'm able to recognize the beauty of it within me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. How connected are you to your culture?
Not very connected. That's enough. So bad to say.
That's so true. That's really valid. Because before, literally like 2 years ago, we were knew nothing about our culture. Like, I didn't even know how to say hello. Like, I knew nothing. And that comes from someone who literally has a black mom who raised me. You know what I mean? Like, she was letting me walk around with the crazy hair and like, not knowing anything about my... We don't need to talk about that. But I think that that is an experience that I'm still learning. You know, it's really hard to learn a culture when you're so... separated. It's practically impossible. Like, what are we supposed to do? You know what I mean? I think that social media helped me kind of. Like, I would be like going on my phone, like following people who lived in Jamaica and stuff, and being like, look at them. You know, that could have been me. And stuff. But it's a war. I don't think I'm ever gonna win. But like, slowly and surely, you know, through dance, I found a lot of culture, I guess.
And like,
go.
We've been talking a lot about what we're calling ancestral knowledge, which is essentially things that your ancestors did or were good at. That
and you just feel like a natural, like I've done classical dance and contemporary dance my whole life.
I've even done Samoan dance.
I've even done Samoan Siva majority of my life, but I just was like, maybe I should try doing like some traditional like Afro-Jamaican dance. And I did it with Esther. So we were doing like a Latina mix. And it was like I was making up dances, you know, and mm-hmm. they were accurate and culturally appropriate, but it was just like natural to me yeah. to do those dance yeah. moves. It just like came so naturally listening to the music or braiding hair. Like I never really tried it before, and then I was like, let me try. And then I could just do it, you know, yeah. like my fingers just knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that was something really interesting to me and something I've really been starting to think about more deeply.
Yeah.
But we're going to play a song now. It's called
Kulu.
We just found it on Spotify and we thought it was beautiful. So enjoy. Guys, welcome back. You were just listening to
Kulu.
And we were just talking about, I guess, being mixed race yeah, in Nelson.
And our experiences growing up.
Yeah, how they differ and how they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to wrap it up now.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice talking to you all.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoyed. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming and speaking to us, Harmony.
Yes, it's been super fun.
We'll get you back on the show.
Yeah, you'll be here a lot.
All right. Yeah, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Tune in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show. First broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.